Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We have a nation. We have a total to save.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn.
People with Pastor Leona Ross. We will be discussing today Naked and Not Ashamed. We have quite a few scriptures for you. We'll just be talking about past sins, past things that we've done, guilty of, happened to us, that make us feel unworthy. So we're going to be discussing that today. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can call in at 516-531-9550. Again, that is 516-531-9550. Or you can tune in online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. But right now, we got a few songs from you for you from Samuel Mattis. Remember, I don't own the rights to this music. We're just sharing it with you for a praise and worship experience. Back in a few.
You better believe me, Lord, I like Jehovah, for the giant. Tell me dead and say, my daddy is the king, so I am royalty. Oh, my daddy is the king, so that means I am royalty. Oh, my father is the king, so I am royalty. I'm way up with him, way up with him, way up with him.
Love me right, grace among me, no lie, no one come. Show me up, call me son, change my name, bless me song. Now the blessing can't turn down. Show me up the most. My daddy is a king, so I am a royalty. It's a matter what you say about me, cause I've got quite a few, but one man alone I know can solve them, and there is really nothing that he can do. If we talk about sin, I was the cheapest, and people put me off on the shelf, but I encountered a love that's the realest, and it's just not me.
turn me round, lift my head, pick me crown, love me right, brace a bum, me no last, no one from, show me up, call me son, change my name, bless me song, now the blessing can't turn down, so me have the boat, my daddy is the king, so I am royalty, you better believe it, my father is a king, so that means I am royalty, oh yeah, my daddy is a king, so I am a royal, and guess what, I'm way up with him, way up, I'm feeding way up with him, yeah,
tell you about royalty,
favor undeserved, blessing in abundance, rolling with protection, angels all around us, mention of his name and the enemies that conquered, power in my words,
you better believe me.
I'm walking like a prince, but my mansion's up yonder, smiling at my haters, all about this kingdom and Jesus is the founder, let me see they hook a little longer, yeah, my father is a king, so I am royal.
Don't run away. for Lordy. Praise is what I do, getting on what that soul should do. Yeah, you hear me lifting up my voice. I get out of flaps and waves, me giving him the highest praise. So never give me some space, cause I want to misbehave. Oh Lord, I want to dance and jump, I want to praise and shout. And it's fine if they don't feel what this is about. Turn away, when I was thinking love, who picked me up?
If y'all want to live like me, start drinking from the well. Cause it's sweet, oh
All right, that was Samuel Madoff with Royalty at the beginning of the set. Then we had They Don't Know, and the last song we just heard was Sweet. So today's topic, Naked and Not Ashamed. I am your host, Pastor Leona Ross. This is If My People. If you want to be a part of this show, you can call in at 516-531-9550. Or you can tune in and get into our chat room at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. We're going to make it real simple and real quick for you today, because sometimes we feel as if the sins of the past, the things that we done and that, of course, God has already forgiven us for, we allow those things to dictate. We allow those things to influence the decisions that we make in our lives today and even future decisions, because we feel ashamed of those things, or we feel like we are unworthy, or we don't feel just good enough to receive the blessings that God is trying to implement into our lives. We might have a promotion on the job to be supervisor or CEO or whatever, and because we allow the thoughts in our minds, the thoughts that are not even our thoughts, the thoughts that come from the enemy, the satanic thoughts that impede and influence our minds to make us think that we're not good enough, or thoughts of failure that, oh, if I do that, if I step out on that limb, it's not going to work. Oh, God, why are you sure you chose me? But then we begin to question our purpose in God. Are you sure you chose me? But if he put you there, if he said that you can do it, then evidently, guess what? You can do it. It's already done. Because remember, he knew you before the foundation of the world. See, when you were yet a thought in his mind, your purpose was already ordained. Your purpose was already preordained before he put you in your mother's womb. What did he tell Jeremiah? Jeremiah 29:11. And we like to quote it. You know, he said, before I knew you, you know, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I called you to be a prophet to the nations. 29:5. That's 29:5. 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think about you. See? Thoughts of good and of peace, and to bring you to what? To an expected end. And that expected end is not what we think. That expected end is what God has already said about us. In Genesis, he said he looked and saw, in Genesis 1:31, he said he looked and saw that everything that he had made was good and very good. That included you, because on the sixth day, he created man. And on the seventh day, he rested. So at the end of the sixth day, after he had created everything, he looked at it, he said, oh, yeah, that's good. Bragging about his own work. And how could it not be anything else except good and very good if we are truly made in his image? See, that's what we lose focus of. We lose focus of the creator in us. We lose focus of that which he has said about us, because we allow people, things, places, wealth, you know, these worldly distractions to give us an influence that God never intended for us to have. Let me clarify that for y'all. We allow the things of this world to influence the thoughts about us. Because, see, we see the images on the idiot box, and we see the likes or the not likes and the comments on the, you know, on the fool's book, Facebook. Mm-hmm. See? And we allow those things. see, to get down on the inside of us and cause us to think contrary to that which God has said. In other words, the opinions of other people have more weight in our lives sometimes than that which God has said, causing us to think even less of ourselves than we ought to. See? I know there's a scripture in the Bible that says, you know, you ought not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to, but let's not think more, even less of ourselves than we ought to. See? Because God has called us to greater. He has called us to more. Remember, he said that we are beautifully and what? Wonderfully made. See? We are beautifully and wonderfully made. So then if we are beautifully and wonderfully made, how can we say anything different? How can we possibly say anything different? That means we're calling God a liar. And we know that God can't be a liar because he said, so are my words that cometh forth from my mouth. Isaiah 55:11, they shall not return unto me void, but they shall accomplish that which I please, and they shall prosper in the thing for which I sent them out to do. They're going to do what I sent them out to do, and not only that, they're going to bring increase as well. See, because remember he said in the beginning, he said, let everything reproduce after its own kind. What is reproduction? Reproduction is an increase of what was the original thing before. See, the multiplicity thereof. See, because when you plant a seed, let's take an orange, for example. You plant an orange tree, you plant a seed, and you get this big old tree. Now, I want to ask you a question. On that orange tree, when it grows up, reaches maturity, does it grow just one orange? Uh-huh. Or does it grow multiple? And when you cut open that orange, not the genetically modified oranges and fruit of today, but I'm talking about a real organic orange, that which cometh from the Lord in the first place, recreated after his divine plan. When you open that orange, aren't there multiple seeds in there? Uh-huh. See? So it's not going to return to him void, see? But it's going to prosper in the thing which he sent it to do. That means it's going to increase. So what is there in you? What is that good thing down on the inside of you that God called you to do that is going to cause you to prosper? See? That is going to be the blessings for the work of your hands. See, not only is it going to be a blessing to you or your family, but it's going to be a blessing unto the nations. What is that part of you? What is that part that is down on the inside of you that God has placed there, as I said, before he placed you in your mother's womb that you have allowed, yes, you, because nobody can stop you from doing that which God has called you to do except you. See, and it begins as a thought in the mind. See, it begins as a thought in your mind from outside influences. Those things which you hear, the negativity that you hear, see, and ingest and allow to change your opinion of yourself, your God-given opinion of yourself. Remember, he said, everything that I have made is good and very good. See, and if we are indeed in Christ, then that should be our thoughts about us, regardless of what anybody else says. And I don't care who that anybody is. It can be family, friend, or foe. If they're not saying what God has said about you, then hey, it's a mute point. Hey, silence. You have to silence that thought. See? And not allow it to become a part of you. Not allow it to dictate your future, to alter the course that God has placed you on. See? Because it brings those demonic spirits of discouragement, of doubt, and of unbelief. And yes, I did say this demonic spirits. Yes, I did. Because anything that is not of God is of who? Is of Satan. Now, we acknowledge all the time that God is a spirit. See? But many of us don't want to acknowledge that the negative things that come in our life, those too are also spirits. You can't have one without the other. Because remember, Satan came to Eve in the garden and said, listen, you know, God knows that if you eat from this tree, then you're going to be just like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. So from the beginning, see, there was always an opposite. It wasn't just good. Evil was always present. It was also present. Remember, Paul said, whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present. So it's an ongoing battle. See? It's an ongoing battle to be able to look in the mirror for some people and love yourself. See, when we talk about depression, when we talk about double-mindedness, when we talk about oppression, when we talk about suicidal ideation, what person who truly loves themselves wants to harm themselves? See? Then where is that influence coming from? See? We have to understand that. All the time, it's not you. See, all of those things are demonic spirits coming against you to cause you not to see who you are in Christ. Because remember, he says, I have given you power over all the powers of the enemy. But if you don't know that, how are you able to fight? How are you able to say, oh, no, that's not me? How are you able to say, oh, no, we're not going there today. I will not be sad, depressed, and oppressed today. But the joy of the Lord is indeed my strength. We're still talking about naked and not ashamed. See, because remember, as it says at Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him we have to do. See? See? Every single thing, everything that we have done, nothing is hidden from God. So why be ashamed? Why not go to him and say, Father, this is the thing that I am struggling with. Help me, deliver me, heal me. Remember, that's what he sent his son for. See, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that all who believe it in him shall be saved, shall live. And not what? Perish. See? I have come so that I might have life and that more abundantly. Well, what is abundant life? See, again, the word abundance means more. It means a lot. It means a plethora. See? It's not just one thing. See? So that means all aspects of life. That in every area of your life, it's a prolific quantity. See? That means that everywhere in your life, you are successful. See? Love is you have love, you have wealth, you have prosperity, you have all that you need. You might not have everything that you want. See? But you have everything that you need. You are not emotionally diminished, see, in your thinking. You can't think bad about yourself if you are in Christ and you have life and that more abundantly because he has come that you might have life. See? See? So back to Hebrews. He's saying, look, everything that you do, because I am God, I'm omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, all those things. I see already. I understand what you're going through because remember, I came down in flesh as man in the body of Christ just to understand exactly what it was that you go through, just to understand exactly why was it so impossible, why was it so difficult for you to obey me. Even though I breathe my spirit into you
Adam. When I created Adam, I breathed my spirit into you. See, but yet and still, the enemy was able to come in and try, and I do say try, to destroy that which I created. Again, nothing can stop you from fulfilling God's purpose except you. See, nothing can stop you except you. That's why he said in Deuteronomy, choose ye this day whom you might serve. It's a choice. Either we're going to stay in the fight or we're going to desert. Are we going to be a deserter? Are we just going to give up and quit? Are we going to continue fighting every day? We're going to continue moving in the things which God has called us to do. See? That's the choice. That's the difference. We choose whether we want to endure it, as Paul said, as a good soldier, or whether we want to quit, whether we say, oh, man, this ain't worth it. And don't get me wrong, we have all got to that point where this life gets so much, and when we are being buffeted on each side, on every side, all we can see is the negativity. When we take two steps and get pushed three steps back, we can either stay there in that backward third step, or we can try to regain four or five steps. That's the choice. Because just because you are here now don't mean you have to stay there. Just because it didn't work out in the past don't mean that you have to stay there. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep pushing. See? How many of you going through grade school 1 through 12 ever failed a grade? Or ever failed a class, but yet and still you received your diploma. You received your high school diploma. Did you quit because you failed first or second grade? Sometimes things are just a learning lesson of things that you did not know before. And you have to go back and learn the lesson so that when this test comes again, hey, I got the answer to that. That's not going to throw me off course. See? That's not going to get me unfocused from what the primary goal is. See, it's to finish what I have been ordained to do, or as in school, to finish and get my diploma, or finish and get my degree. See, but if you had quit in the midst of the trial, you would have never been successful. The Bible says, you know, In Christ, all things are possible to them that believe. You had the belief in yourself that you had enough intestinal fortitude to graduate. So if we have that much tenacity for the things of the world, why is it so difficult for us to endure when it comes to things of God? See? I always say, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. That's too much. No. But when it comes to the things of the world, even on our jobs as adults, because we know at the end of the month or the end of the week or the two-week period or whatever, we going to get that paycheck. That paycheck is going to help sustain what? It's going to help sustain our life as we know. It's going to pay our car note. It's going to pay our utility bills. It's going to pay our rent, our mortgage, so that we have food, shelter, transportation. See? So we endure the little snide comments of coworkers. We endure the mistreatment of our employers. We endure, you know, getting paid less than what we know we are worth. See, to sustain our homes. So if we are able, see, if we are able to endure all of those insults and all those things that come against us naturally on a day-to-day basis, why, when it comes to the things of God, when he has promised us greater, when he has told us that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, Why can't we just take him at his word? See? Because sometimes what happens is we get too emotionally involved. And we get in our feelings and we think about, oh, the bad marriage, or oh, the bad relationship, or oh, how bad, you know, this person treated me in the past, what parents said, what sisters said, you know, what other people said, and we take on that persona. And we see, rather than see ourselves on top, we're seeing ourselves, you know, just mid-level or less than what God has called us to be, not really reaching down like we did in elementary school and high school and whatever, not really reaching down on the inside of us and saying, oh, I'm smarter than this. I can pass this test. But the enemy has a way of pulling up a reel to reel of your sins of the past and keeping those things in front of your face and flowing them frame by frame. Remember when this happened? Remember when you tried this and that didn't work? Remember you tried this and that didn't work? Remember you did a fundraiser and it wasn't successful? See? So you lost this or you lost that. Or remember when you got fired from your job and you lost everything, you lost your car, you lost your house. See? What makes you think that you're going to be successful now? Because this is not then. He said his grace and mercies are renewed what? Every morning. Every morning we get up, we ought to be looking for a new blessing for that day. Give us this day our daily bread. What is promised for me today? Because yesterday gone, I can't recruit anything from yesterday. But today, I can do things different because I learned a lesson from yesterday. So no, the past cannot affect me, or it should not affect me. So you can stop playing that reel to reel. Let's go to Genesis 3:7-11. He said, then their eyes, both of them, were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? See, he couldn't see them. They was not out front and present to greet him. They no longer came into his presence. Why? Because they found out that they didn't have no clothes on. Well, God knew this all the time. He knew it all the time. He knows what you have done. See, but the enemy brought it to their light. He brought it to their awareness. In other words, as they say, today he woke them up. He woke them up to some things that they could not see. And once they saw it, rather than saying, oh, well, this is how God created me, I'm good. Because he said everything that he made was good and very good. See? But they became ashamed of it because they were not familiar to being in that circumstance. They had never been in that predicament before. So they didn't know how to feel about it, see? So they went with their emotions rather than what God had said, see? And like any child, you know, most children, not the little 3 and 2-year-olds, you know, little toddlers that like to run around naked, strip off their diapers and stuff and run across your living room floor because they think it's fun. See, that's what Adam and Eve were before they came into the knowledge, or before somebody taught them that it wasn't okay to be naked. It wasn't okay to just strip off your diaper and run across the living room floor. See, somebody had to teach them that. And that's what Satan did. He came in there and he told them, it ain't okay to be naked, bro. What y'all doing? Y'all need some clothes on. But God never said that. He said they were created in his image. See, they were spirit. What does a spirit need with clothes? See, you're covered by the grace of God. See, so old things, as it says in Romans 1, 8 and 1, you know, old things are passed away. So what you doing? Those old things are passed away. So you don't have to worry about that because I got you covered. I got you covered. Don't worry about it. See, I got you covered. I'm the one who's covering you now. See, let's go to Ezekiel 16:8. He said, then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and declared and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. Yes, I saw you in your sin. I saw you when you messed up. But at the end of the day, because I called you, because I chose you, because I put my name on you, you still mine. There is nothing that you can possibly do to make me leave or forsake you, because that is my word. I said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, thus saith the Lord God. See? He said, I saw you. He said, listen, I saw you. I saw you in the messiest of messes that you could ever be in. But rather than looking at the sin, I covered you. I covered up all that mess so you could still do what I called you to do. I covered up all of that mess so no one else could see it. And I still called you mine. I still grafted you in. I still loved you regardless. And so if God, the creator of all things, and everything in the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's what the word says. Everything in the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So if you are the Lord's and the fullness thereof and he does not reject you, why do you care when other people reject you? They're not God. They're not the author and the finisher of your faith. They don't have the final say-so of what you become or what you do. Sometimes you just got to depart from people and show them that if God be with you, who can be against you? See, that you are more than a conqueror. See, sometimes success is the greatest revenge, because when they tell you what you can't do and you do it anyway, they be the first ones to come with their lying, pretending faces saying, oh, girl, I knew you could do it. I knew it. Girl, you know I was with you. Wait a minute. You don't. Same person that said I couldn't do it. You the same person that when I was raising funds to get it done, and I asked you, I'm like, girl, I ain't sewing into nothing that's going to fail, because you know everything you put your hands on don't work. It ain't never worked before. See, always bringing up the past, knowing that the past is a mute point. The past don't even matter. See? God raised up the people. He saved them from ruin. You know, after they was in Egypt and enslaved, you know, and abandoned and was slaughtered like sheep, you know, just their life was just doomed. See? Doomed to be destroyed. Yet he saved them from death. He commanded that they're going to live. You're going to live. Because he told us, he said, you know, my thoughts towards you is always thoughts of good. And that you might have life and that more abundantly. So there is grace. He says to our soul, live and not die. Why? Because when he sees us, he looks at us with love. We are his creation. What mother or father that truly loves their child can look at them and hate them? What mother, real mothers, you know, not this demonic, satanic, you know, demonically influenced, you know, of people that we have today, who look at their children as sex objects, who look at their children as rubbish. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the real mothers, you know, the real fathers who truly love their children, and that when they're going through, has pity on them, regardless of what they did, regardless of the mess that they caught up in. You go to them and you say, come in, son, let me help you out. Let me help you with this. Let me show you how to make better decisions so you don't find yourself in this predicament anymore. See? Not ridiculing them. See, I told you wasn't nothing, and you never was going to be nothing. You're just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. He ain't nothing, she ain't nothing, and you ain't going to never be nothing. Who does that foolishness? That's not of God. See? Because you know that that is a part of you. See? That you help bring to pass as a father. See? Or that you carried 9 months as a mother. You carry. So now you raise them up and you nurture this child. You have no desires to destroy it. Because if you do, it's something in you that's not right. It's something in you that you don't like about you. That when you see that child, you see you. You see that thing that you don't like about you. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It's about you. You're the person that can't look in the mirror and accept the things about you that you don't like. In other words, you don't love you. You never knew how to love you. You never could look in the mirror and say, well, God, this is me. You know, and these are the things that I don't like. Me and Father, deliver me from this. Rather than looking at you, you put all your animosity and hate in that child. You mistreat that child because you can't deal or refuse to deal with the things that are in you that are unlike God. Like Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, no, you're not Abraham's children, because if you were Abraham's children, then you would have accepted me. You don't even know Abraham, because if you would have knew Abraham, you would have knew me, and thus you would have knew my father. But you are of your father, the devil. Because how can you hate God's creation? See? How can you purposefully divide God's creation and say, because you are black, you're less than, or you are white, you're greater than? Or you are the supreme being. Where in the hell does it say that in the Bible? But you will find people who perpetuate this foolishness and get in the minds of those to follow it. That's how slavery was so successful. Because if you can say that a person is not a human being, you don't have any relation to it. You are able to disregard feelings. You are able to disregard anything that you do to them, thinking that, oh, well, they ain't got no feelings. Oh, well, it don't matter. They're not human. See? Not realizing that you are under the demonic influence of bestiality. That's why you can go in the barn and have sex with a sheep, pigs, dogs, goats, and justify it and think that it's okay. Yeah. Yeah, demonic influence, spirit of perversion. And when you can do these things, and because Satan is the accuser of all brethren, and because he hated man from the beginning, because the Bible says that God made man a little bit lower than the angels, but the angels had to obey man as they obeyed who? As they obeyed the Father. God, he said, I have given you all power over all the powers of the enemy. See? In the book of Genesis, when Abraham was required to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. See, because Isaac had the promise. Isaac held the promise. See? The angels asked God, what is man that thou art so mindful of him? Why do you pay so much attention and give them so much authority, God? Why? Because they are created in my image. The angels, you were just spoken out of my mind for a duty. Okay, if you're a secretary, then you record everything that these people do. That's what you do. That's all you do. Man was the only being that he gave an independent spirit. They had a choice. See, they could speak creation, and it was. The angels didn't, they didn't have that power. They had the knowledge, but they didn't have the power to do it. Anytime an angel had to do anything, if you read in the book of Jesus, it just slipped my mind. Dang it. But anyway, if you read in that book, you will see that the angels that were thrown out came and spoke to Enoch. And they told Enoch, listen, we got cast out. We don't even know why. We was just a part of the conversation. But can you ask God to let us back into heaven? The book of Enoch, I believe it is. Yeah. Can you ask them to let us back into heaven? And he said, who am I? Tell God what to do. I can't do that. If God cast you out and that's his judgment, then that's his judgment. I can't change his mind. See? They had to steal angelic beings that were in the presence of God. They had to come to man to go to God for him. Do you recognize the importance of your place? So how can you possibly allow people, haters, who don't know you, under demonic influence, sent by Satan to destroy your destiny, to destroy your purpose? Even the thoughts in your mind, if it ain't lining up with the word, if it ain't saying that which what God has said about you, then it shouldn't even, you shouldn't even entertain the thought. Don't allow what happened in the past to destroy your decision and your wealth and having life abundantly today. No. See? All things truly are passed away. See? Romans 8 and 1, it says, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Because remember, originally, before flesh, before you were aware, you were spirit. See? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That means when it says he condemned sin in the flesh, so it don't matter what you did. It's already whatever you do out of your flesh. If you are in Christ, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the true God. I ain't talking about this fake, watered-down, sissified, you know, white person sitting on the cross that they put up there and called it the deity of God. That's not God. That's not Christ. See? That's somebody's lustful presentation of what they saw as Christ. Y'all need to study. Bible says study to show thyself approved. No. No, that's not it. And I have yet to this day to understand why churches still have a cross, a symbol of suffering hanging up in your church. That is not how Christ, he said he rose on the third day and ascended into heaven. They didn't say he stayed on the cross. Who wants to suffer for eternity? That's for those going to hell. So the word says, so why, and it said, thou shalt make no graven image. Isn't that a graven image that y'all put up and wear around your chest? Come on now. Have on your little beads and you kiss it and you give it more priority than the Lord God himself. Jehovah God, Yahweh, Yeshua Adonai. You give that more priority than the real thing, the Creator who created you. I have yet to understand that. You don't go deep enough. You get caught up in traditions rather than looking to see where all of these things, all these holidays, and even a Sunday, not even realizing that Sunday means the day of Ra, which was the sun god. Did you know that? But you're so caught up in your traditions, you don't take the time to pray and seek God for what thus saith the Lord concerning you. Stop taking people at face value, that they know what they're talking about. James said, test the spirit by the spirit to see that it is of God. The commission was to go ye into all the land and preach this gospel, not preach my gospel, not preach my Baptist or holiness or Catholic traditions. And that's how we get it confused. And we go these places and we allow these people to make us feel less than what God has called us to be. He said, be ye not pleasers of men, but rather please God. Who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to change for? Are we trying to change? Are we trying to live saved? To honor God? To honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we doing it for men? And when I say man, I mean women too. Man as in mankind. Are we trying to live up to their standards or to their doctrine? Come on now. Don't just be a yes man because you want to be a part of the crowd. Sometimes God pulls you out of the crowd so that you can get in his face and find out who you are in him. Who he created you to be. Not what somebody else said you are. Remember, he said, test the spirit by the spirit to see if it is of God. Because if it is of God, then what they say about you is going to line up with what God says about you. He says, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. Remember, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He said, I covered your sins. We just read that. He said, I covered them. I know you was messy. But I can't see mess because I'm a holy and righteous God. I see what I called you to be. All this other stuff is just in the middle for you to choose the path that you want to take. I can't make you do it. But I'm hoping that I have blessed you enough, that I have showed myself strong enough in your life that you would choose to serve me over anything else. See, because my love is unconditional. And whereas man will leave you, whereas man will forsake you, whereas man will walk away from you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, I'm always tell you the truth because I am truth. I am the very essence of what truth and love is. See, so I can never leave nor forsake you. Even though you do things that are against my will, even though you do things that I don't even like, I have covered you. I have entered into a covenant with you. See, I have entered into a covenant with you. So how can I deny my own? That's the kind of relationship we have with God. That's what he wants us, what he wants us to rely upon. Not what people say about you. He wants you to understand what he has said. Understanding that you are greater. Understanding that you are more than what they see, because he said, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. See, I know what your end is going to be. I know what I created you for. So stop listening to all those naysayers. Stop allowing those people to come in and wreak havoc in your life and making you feel like less than what I have called you to be and what I have called you to do. Because if I said it, then surely it shall come to pass. Keep working, keep praying, keep pushing. You're not a failure. You're greater. You are greater. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Understand that. Understand that. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are, because 9 times out of 10, they're only saying it because they can't do it. They can't be like you. And let us understand this, that most times, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to look at your culture. See? And look at the things that you have accomplished, being oppressed, being called less than. Could they live without you? Could they eat without you? Could they have the many accomplishments that you have? Could they have done it without you? Even they themselves admit it. But they want you to believe that they're greater. And no, this is not to put down anybody. That's not what I'm about. I'm about the truth. Because only God is greater. Because if you were so great, you could have did it without us. See? Look at those instances in your life when you had an idea and somebody told you, yeah, it wasn't a good idea. But they took that same idea and prospered, discouraged you, but they took it and prospered from it. So how important are you? How valuable are you? And that's a word that we don't hear a lot. We don't hear about our value. We don't hear about our self-worth. But people are good to throw up the past. People are good to throw up our mistakes. But the Bible says love hides a multitude of sin. That means we don't bring it up. We don't care about that. All we care about is your relationship in Christ. All we care about is your being restored. And this is what God did. Restored that relationship back to him. See? That's why in Romans 8:12, he said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we should die. But if we live after the spirit, we do mortify the deeds of the body and we shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See? So who can tell you that you're anything else? He said, by the Spirit, this flesh don't mean nothing. So it don't matter what color I am on the outside. It matters what spirit I have on the inside of me. And there's only one or two spirits that you're going to carry. You're either going to carry the spirit of the living God, or you're going to be under demonic influence of Satan. That's just it. There's no in between. There's no, oh, I'm halfway in and halfway out. Because the Bible says in Revelation, it says that if you are lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you cannot straddle the fence. I'm sorry. I know they tell you that. It's a gray area. No. Not in God. It's not no gray area in God. You either in or you out. That's just it. Because you can't claim to love God and hate his people. I'm sorry. I'm really not sorry, but for lack of a better phrase. You cannot claim to love the Almighty God and hate his creation. Or mistreat his creation. See, so all those that come to you and try to bring up your past and say you did this, you did this, and I remember, let them remember. You don't have to, because you are moving on in the greater things of God. He said we move on to perfection. He didn't say we are perfect. And moving means you're not standing still. You are actually going from place to place, position to position. You're moving up. You're getting bolder. You're getting stronger. You're learning more. You're doing more. You're accomplishing more. Increasing in that which your Father has called you to be. See? No child just is born one day and 10 years later takes over his father's business. No. He has to grow into it. He has to learn what that business is about. He has to learn what it is about, what it takes to run that business, to be successful. So too are the things of God. So too is this walk of Christ, this journey, as some people like to say. So you're not going to get it overnight. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. But what you don't do is allow anybody to condemn you, not even you yourself. What you don't do is look upon the things of the past and let them dictate your decisions for the now. That's what happened then. That's not now. God has called you to greater. He's called you to greater. And if we can remember that and move on in that, it leaves no room, not less room. It leaves no room for the enemy to come in and dictate or try to get us off focus or try to distract us from that which God has called us to be. From that whom we are. Because it's already there. It's already in us. It's just taking the time and having the patience to allow that which God has said that we are to manifest. See? And it's not for anybody else to see. They don't have to see it. Of course, people will. They'll see the changes in you. Many times before you even see it. And a true friend will bring it to your attention. You'll be like, oh, man, I didn't even know. God already did that. He delivered me from that. He changed that ungodly characteristic about me. See? Because you're so focused on where God is taking you that you ain't got time to look at the things that done dropped off in the past. Yes, they are testimony, and we overcome by the words of our testimony, but we don't dwell on those things that held us captive. See? The song that says, I'm free, thank God I'm free. No longer bound, no more change holding me. See, praise the Lord, I'm free. See, we don't go back and pick up those chains of bondage and those shackles and shackle them back on. No, we keep moving. We keep running. We get as far away from that thing that held us as we can, knowing we ain't got to deal with that anymore. Ain't got to deal with that. And we definitely are not ashamed of it anymore. See, because the shame comes when you're bound. The shame comes when you still feel bad about it. The shame comes when you're emotionally entangled with that thing. But because you're no longer emotionally entangled with it, it can't dictate pace in your life anymore. In other words, people, it has no power over you anymore. It can't make you feel bad. It can't make you feel suicidal. It can't make you feel depressed. It can't make you feel, you know, unworthy. It can no, it doesn't have the power to do it that anymore.
When you look back on it, or people try to bring it up, you know, what happens is there's just the praise that comes out. See, thank God. Look at what the Lord has done. And they're looking at you like, what? But I just said that you used to be. That's right. Praise God. That's what I used to be. Hallelujah. And they're confused. See? They're confused now because you acknowledge that sin. You know, yeah. But you give God the glory because you know that as the author and the finisher, the creator of the very person that you are, he brought you through all of that. And you can hold your head high. Because you know you're royalty. You're the son or the daughter of the king, of the Most High God. That's who you are. So how can anybody make you feel less than? How can anybody take that away from you? What can they possibly bring up about you that's going to make you feel less than, that's going to make you feel bad when you recognize your place in him? There's nothing in God's green earth that they can do or say to take that away from you. There's nothing. See, so then those become useless tools of the enemy. So that if if God can bring you through all of that, knowing who you are, see, if he can bring you through all of that and knowing who you are, then the weapons from the enemy are null and void. They don't matter. There's nothing that he can do at all. Because now you have that stability in Christ. You have that stability in Christ. That nobody can take it away from you. You know who you are. You found your true identity. And when you know who you are, nobody can come to you and tell you otherwise. No one. Not your past, not your family, not your friends. Because you're now standing on that strong foundation of a solid rock. So you can't be moved. You cannot be moved. You are rooted and grounded, knowing who you are. Yeah, it took a while. Yeah, it was a battle. Yeah, it was some things that you had to learn. But now that you are here, knowing who you are, your true identity in Christ Jesus, knowing who you are, don't let anybody move you from that. There's no going backwards. There's smooth sailing from here. All right. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with It's My People. This has been a discussion on Naked and Not Ashamed. I hope I was helpful for you today, that when people come against you and tell you what you can't be, you got to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that our Lord God, if he is with you, who can be against you? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because this world has nothing for you. It has nothing for you. But all things through Christ Jesus. All things through Christ Jesus. Understand your worth, who you are. Until next time. Be blessed. I thank you guys for hanging out with me. Got a few songs going out. Victory by Samuel Mettis and Fred Hammond. Jesus Called Me Righteous.
I will hope continually, and will yet praise you more and more. I will lift my eyes up to the hills from whence cometh my help.
Our hope is in you, Jesus. On my past days, I can't win my enemies. My righteousness is not a lie, no. Pharaoh's behind me and the Red Sea's ahead of me. Da-da-da. And my 2 feet are all I've got. I know someone who has already won 2,000 years ago. And because he won, it's already done for me. Woo-hoo. I've got victory. I've got victory. You have overcome for me. I've got victory. I've got victory. You have overcome for me. Lion of Judah, you have overcome. Lion of Judah, you have overcome. Everybody sing with me on my best day.
On my best days, I can't win my enemy.
No, no.
My righteousness is not a lie.
No, 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 no.
Arrows behind me, the Red Sea ahead of me. And these 2 feet are all I've got. I know someone who is already. I've got victory, I've got victory.
can call me